ethnic violence. It's led to the deaths of millions of people in the past decade alone. And one of the challenges facing policymakers is knowing when and where it's going to happen. Now, Mei Lim, Richard Metzler, and Yanir Bar-Yam report in a paper that they have developed a computer model for identifying where ethnic violence may occur. This very accurate model, with correlation at or above 0.9 on data from India and the former Yugoslavia, uses population statistics, a Monte Carlo simulation, and a Mexican hat wavelet filter. I spoke to Yanir Bar-Yam from his office in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
The main issue here is recognizing very general patterns that exist in nature. Ethnic violence appears under conditions that we can recognize. The research shows that it occurs in circumstances of pattern formation where areas are differentiating by culture. So let's say you start with a mixed set of ethnic groups, and over time they separate. That process is very universal. It happens in chemical systems and physical systems, in biological systems. And by being attuned to these very universal processes, we can recognize that they're taking place in the world in this context and consider how those universal processes might be related to ethnic violence.
So it sounds like ethnic violence is, in a sense, similar to a chemical reaction, say, or these other universal patterns that are out there. So certain ethnic population patterns are more likely to be reactive, if you will?
Well, basically, there are two parts to the model. The first part is a dynamical aspect, which is the process by which populations change their geographical distribution. So it's a very natural concept, and if you like common parlance, the idea of birds of a feather flock together. What happens in human populations is that over time, people tend to want to be near others of similar type. And when that process is sufficiently strong, then the spatial arrangement of people tends to result in groupings of people. And those groupings grow in size over time. So that's part one of the model. The second part of the model is relating that to ethnic violence. And there, the recognition is that when people are well mixed, they're unlikely to engage in violence with each other. And when people are well separated, they're unlikely to engage in violence. But at a particular size of separation, you have the beginning of individuals identifying the space around them as being associated with their group. And at the same time, you have the other group violating whatever social or behavioral conventions are associated with their ethnic group. And that creates the kind of underlying friction or tension that can give rise to violence under the appropriate triggering events. So our work uses both of those ideas and then evaluates the existing population structure in order to identify regions of likely violence in a particular area.
So what kind of patterning is predictive of ethnic violence?
When you have islands or peninsulas of one type into another type, so they're mostly surrounded by the other type, then there's a difficulty to differentiate the regions, and the boundaries are in a sense unclear, and there's a certain size of islands or peninsulas where there would be lack of clarity. And the process of studying the model, we identify the typical size of such islands or peninsulas that would be problematic, and that's how we identify areas of likely violence.
To the model itself, what types of equations did you use?
So there are two levels of understanding of the equations. There is a simple model that we used to represent the process of pattern formation, and there is a process that we use to detect islands and peninsulas of likely conflict. The first is an agent-based model representing different ethnic groups with agents that are tagged by their ethnic group. And they are moving around in a space with preference to be near the same type. Detection of islands and peninsulas is done using filters applied to the spatial model. We specifically used wavelet filters, but the details are not important to the outcome. And one of the main things in all of this is that the concept of universality, which says that many of the details are not important, is essential to enabling us to do the modeling.
How did you test this prediction model?
The model was tested against data from two places. One is the former Yugoslavia, which had extensive violence during the 1990s. And so using census of the ethnic composition of the country by area, by region, we constructed a representation of the population groups and used that to identify areas of violence and then compared that with the violence that was actually reported. And the census was done before the violence broke out so that it could be used as an identifier of the ability to predict the ethnic violence. The other place that we studied was India, where again, there are areas in which violence has been very strong, and we used a census in India to check that the model could predict the areas of violence.
And how accurate was the model?
Actually, remarkably so. I mean, the model does not include many things that could be relevant to violence, and that one can use just the spatial distribution of population and not include many other factors that surely have some relevance to ethnic violence and still find a very, very good identification of the areas of violence was quite remarkable.
So it's not something then that would account for, say, a dictator who has a particular feelings about one particular ethnic group or another?
Now, it's surely quite clear that given a system which has very, very strict control over the population, that would suppress the appearance of ethnic violence. So we did not include that, but, you know, as an extrinsic force that would suppress the violence, at least in a temporary way, such factors are clearly important.
It sounds a bit like the model promotes separation of ethnic groups or this sort of dictatorial control over them. But at the same time, folks living in regions of highly mixed ethnicities do not interact violently, you had said. What can policymakers take away from this?
Well, I think there are policies historically and even in the present that are aware of this. In Singapore, where they impose mixing of populations in the housing that's available in Singapore. And there have been various attempts historically to create boundaries between groups in order to reduce the likelihood of violence. One can say that the scientific study, number one, is a starting point for scientific evaluation of ethnic violence from a certain perspective. Number two, that from the point of view of policy, it provides some concepts and framework for considering policies. And number three, bringing the two together by doing more research that is more specifically relevant to policies in a particular area can provide increased insight into the impact that those policies will take. It's not that the scientific research is prescriptive, but rather provides some guidance that can be taken into consideration by policymakers.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Good.
Yanir Baryam is the author, with May Lim and Richard Metzler, of Global Pattern Formation and Ethnic Cultural Violence. Read more about it in the September 14th issue of Science.